The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. No handshakes for this morning, Howard, but a few things that we can't really talk about, but I just want to mention just very quickly anyway. Fekir Libi, this is the song that has been chosen to go to the Eurovision. I don't know if you had a chance to play it yet.
We did. We played it actually as our 7 o'clock song yesterday. Quite mixed report, quite mixed reaction. Zanati and I absolutely loved it. And I think that people will get used to it. You know, when Toy came out as well,
It was a little weird, actually.
I really didn't like it in the beginning, and then I grew to love it. Last year's one, I have to say, I desperately tried to love.
Not so much.
And I just couldn't at all. So,
I mean, this, Fekilibi, I think, is a good one, especially for Eden, who's obviously singing it, the young lady who was born in Jerusalem, but from Ethiopian extract. And of course, it's got Amharic, and it's got English, and it's got Arabic, and it's got Hebrew, all in the same song. So I think it's kind of a very nice Eurovision-y song. If indeed the Eurovision goes ahead, we'll talk about that a little bit more. Attacks in Syria again against Hezbollah targets. Israel has been accused. Apparently, air attacks have been carried out along that Syrian border area against an airfield in Syria. Who knows? I mean, we can't really talk much about it, but it's a little bit more of the same, I suppose. Not the first time that we've seen these things. And as we know, Israel is very eager to make sure that they get to the root cause of any issues long before it takes place. So quite possible that Israel is involved. And of course, we're at the time of year just after the winter rainfalls. Now most of the rainfall are done, some nice sunny days, and the flowers out in the countryside are wonderful. Anybody who is in Israel and wants to get out and enjoy the flowers, now is definitely the time. Fields of flowers, lots of color. People are heading out, hopefully over the weekend. I'm not sure what the weather's going to be like. There are reports that it's going to be slightly stormy, but certainly people who can will be getting out, even in the desert. All of a sudden, after the rains, you know, things start happening there, which is so surprising. So, you know, really pretty, you know, easy to get away from the elections and away from Corona and everything else and think that you're in some sort of different planet somewhere. Very nice indeed.
All right. Let's just talk about COVID-19, the update from Israel. It's quite interesting in that, there are no more than, I think, 12 or 15 at the latest count of people, suffering from the illness. And yet somehow the reaction of the Israeli government is really extreme. Thousands of people in quarantine. I know that I spoke to my son. I mentioned it to our listeners earlier. I spoke to my son who works in Tel Aviv at Monday.com. There, a number of their people are in quarantine, but it's literally, he says, almost every company has some people that have traveled and that have put themselves into quarantine for a bit.
So yesterday, the health ministry announced a whole range of new restrictions, including adding countries to the list where if people travel from those countries, the Israelis travel from those countries, then they are required to put themselves into quarantine when they get home. And of course, citizens from those countries or traveling from those countries, foreigners, not citizens, but foreign non-Israelis who travel from those countries are turned around at the border and are sent back again. Okay, so that's the note. That's the significance of adding countries to the list. Anybody who comes from there either has to come home and go into quarantine or is sent back to where they came from. And the countries that have been added to the list are Germany, Switzerland, Austria, Spain, and France. Okay, those are the countries that have now been added to the list, in addition to a whole range of countries from Far East, China, Hong Kong, Macau, a few other countries, Japan, I think, a few other countries. So quite a number of countries on that list. So all of a sudden, in one fell swoop, a whole bundle of people who recently traveled to those countries were forced to put themselves into quarantine. The latest count of people who are in self-quarantine is around 100,000. Would you believe? I mean, that is a substantial number. And some of them are as a result of coming into contact with people. Like, for example, someone who's been diagnosed with COVID-19 went to a football match recently before he realized he had it. And then a whole group of people, a whole area of supporters of spectators who were at that football game were forced to go into quarantine. It numbered initially some thousands of people, and then afterwards they narrowed the people down to just a few rows in a certain part of the stadium at the football game. So at the moment, there is an estimate that something like 200 people from that football game have gone into quarantine. That individual picked up the virus from quite a well-known shop that has been frequented by people, especially ahead of the Purim holidays, to get dressing up things and all the rest of it, like a toy shop. The owner of the toy shop has been in quarantine, and I think he's been diagnosed with the virus. He's one of them that's been diagnosed. Another worker, because he came from Italy. And then another worker at the shop also contracted the virus. And then this individual who was at the football game went into the shop, I think, and was just one of the customers there and somehow picked it up. And so there's a lot of focus around that particular shop because of quite a few people have been infected. But I think here are the most important things for listeners to consider, particularly people who are thinking of coming for the Jerusalem Marathon. And I'm going to talk about that specifically. The Health Ministry decided yesterday that there should be no mass gatherings of conferences of 5,000 people or more. Okay? Now that seems automatically to include the Jerusalem Marathon, which is due to come up in a few weeks' time. The municipality of Jerusalem have formally said that they're giving this consideration. They have not announced yet that they are cancelling the marathon, but on the basis that the Ministry of Health is preventing gatherings, has prohibited gatherings of more than 5,000 people, it seems to me that the marathon cannot continue. Now, that's just my speculation. That's not an official word. So people really need to be looking out to see what's going on before they travel and to check what their travel arrangements are, because I think that there is a very significant likelihood that the marathon may well be cancelled. Also, all the Purim functions of next week, the main Adlo Yada, the Purim parade that takes place in Holon, which is kind of the flagship parade across Israel, a lot of effort goes in, cancelled. No Purim parade in Cholon next week, and indeed other Purim parades have been cancelled because of the fact that they will have more than 5,000 people gathering. So quite a number of new restrictions in place, which are quite extreme. Now, you know, the question is it too much or is it enough? Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday was at the Ministry of Health, and he said that, you know, we are doing more than other countries in order to prevent the spread of the virus, which is probably correct. The question is it necessary? I find it very hard to draw a conclusion about this, whether we're doing too much. Apparently, the chief rabbi has issued an official notification saying that people don't have to kiss mezuzahs when they walk into a room or a home, because that could apparently also be a source of spreading the virus. So lots of interesting and different things coming out from COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And I think there will be more yet before the week is out.
And it'll also, of course, be interesting to see what happens over Pesach. Pesach is a huge Passover, huge, huge tourist festival or period in Israel. But I just can't imagine that this year is going to be particularly successful.
I agree with you. Obviously, inbound tourism is being affected. Not only Pesach, there's also the Gay Pride Parade, which attracts a lot of people coming in. It's very difficult to know how all of that's going to pan out. I mean, we've still got a couple of months perhaps until then. But certainly a lot of sensitivity around. And the official notification from the Ministry of Health is that people should not travel unless they absolutely need to do so, travel abroad, which means that Eden, for example, couldn't travel to the meet and greet for the Eurovision because it was considered not absolutely essential. There is also talk about delaying the opening of the Knesset because that will potentially be the inauguration, you know, after the recent elections, that potentially that could be a source of a problem in terms of spreading the virus. And so there is some talk about delaying that. And of course, many other things as well. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg that we've had a chance to talk about right now.
Yeah, it's really, really, it's quite unbelievable how just crazy the world has gone. Kahol Lavan wishes to pursue the legislation that will prevent anybody under legal indictment from becoming prime minister. You know, I read this a little bit earlier and I thought, wow, I don't like this one bit. And I've been very open in my feeling that although I've been a Netanyahu supporter for many, many years, yeah, I really felt that it's, feel that it's time for him to move on. So it's not as though that I feel that he absolutely has to be prime minister. But to raise this now, on the third election, after you've taken a hammering at the polls, it doesn't come across well. It's not a good look, in my view.
It's not a good look, and I think that it goes a bit further. I mean, I think on the one hand, it seems pretty obvious that the last thing that you want is someone who is the prime minister having also to deal with personal legal issues. Okay, I think it's a distraction. I think, for example, that in many countries, a sitting prime minister or a sitting president cannot be illegally indicted because of the fact that people want him to concentrate, or her to concentrate, on their job as leading the country rather than to have to spend time, money, effort, and energy on having to defend against legal proceedings. And for that reason, many countries do have this provision in place that you cannot actually proceed legally against a sitting president or prime minister. This is the opposite way around. This says, if there are legal proceedings against you, then you can't sit in the position. And I don't know whether it's the cart before the horse or if it's a chicken and egg situation. I think it goes without saying that no country would want their leader, their prime minister or president, to be under legal proceedings. I think that is an automatic, automatically understood. The question is whether any legislation that might be promulgated against a particular individual or against a particular individual set of circumstances has any justification. And I kind of wonder whether this is just, sour grapes, we all know what the situation is. In other words, nobody went to the polls on Monday without knowing that Prime Minister Netanyahu has this legal indictment hanging over his head. Everybody was aware of that. That was a fact that nobody could have avoided. And therefore, anybody who voted for him would have voted for him knowingly,
absolutely,
knowing that he's under legal
absolutely
investigation. And therefore, there's no need for you to turn around at this stage and say, hang on a second, now that people have voted for you, knowing that you're under legal investigation, we're going to prevent you from becoming, to fulfilling the will of the people effectively, which is what that would be. Now, so I think there's two sides to this particular coin. I can't see this, this legal, process going anywhere at all. We're still in the period now when government needs to be formed. We still don't have final election results, but it seems as if there's going to be Likud 36 seats, Kahol Lavan 33 seats. That's a significant beating by Israeli standards. Those three seats are very significant. But what's more significant is that there's no possible way that Kahol Lavan can form a government on its own without sitting together with the Likud. The Likud, on the other hand, could potentially squeeze over the line and get the 61 seats that are required in order to form a government. At the moment, the president is waiting for the formal results to be announced. That will likely to be, we'll probably get the final results during the course of today and the meeting with the president and the Central Election Committee next week. And then the president will have to go through his consultation period and finally ask somebody to form a government. And as I said yesterday, there are stories circulating around the press that President Rivlin is actually trying to delay the process of forming the government rather than accelerating it because of the legal court, the court case, which is due to open on the 17th of March. I can't see that date being so significant. In other words, the case will open. I'm sure that, there will just be initial proceedings, that nothing substantial will really come out of that day. So I think delaying things up until then, I don't think it's going to make any real difference to where we are right now. I mean, if we really want to wait for the significance of the court case, it'll really need to be at the end when the judgment is delivered rather than at the beginning. And that's likely to take years rather than days, weeks, or months. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, an interesting situation that we find ourselves right now relative to the whole legal process. But, if I was to bet, I would suggest that Prime Minister Netanyahu probably will find a way to form a government. Everybody certainly hopes so, even people who don't necessarily support him, because we need a government.
Absolutely right. Time is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Very, very interesting. And we'll, of course, speak to you on Monday morning. Hope you have a fantastic weekend and a peaceful, healthy Shabbat Shalom. It is 8 o'clock. Here's your news with Zanati.